This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'd like now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Silvia Barella. She's executive director of Santa Fe Recovery Center. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we've been talking about social services and DWI and addiction and recovery and mental illness on this program lately. And everybody mentions the Santa Fe Recovery Center. That's really the place for so many people in this city and this county who have addiction problems.
Yes, there are limited addiction services in the state and in Santa Fe in particular. There are several outpatient programs, but we are the only residential program for substance abuse treatment services in Santa Fe County that's a nonprofit and has different types of funding. There's the Life Healing Center, which is a for-profit program, and us, and that's just about it for residential.
And so under what circumstances do people end up there?
People come to us from all different referral sources and ways and methods. Often clients are self-referred, friends or family have encouraged them to call us. We do have clients who are court-ordered. You know, we have clients who come to us because they've gone to their doctor and their doctor recommended us. A lot of times it's referrals from friends and family, people who've heard of us, sometimes insurance companies.
Right, right. And so, I mean, there's this whole question of, because I think many of us have known people who've been addicted and who go through a process of recovery and or detoxification, and then they relapse. And I was wondering if you could talk about what are the keys for success.
Yeah, absolutely. Addiction is a chronic disease, and it takes a process, and often a lifelong process to sustain long-term recovery. And social supports are really critical. You know, a 30-day residential program, it pulls people out of the environment. It gives them a short period of sobriety. We give them tools and structure and some ideas on ways that they can start to address the addiction and possibly mental illness, what led them to that place. But discharging from our program is the beginning. It's not the end. And it's really important for clients to engage in 12-step programs, outpatient programs. They have to change the people, places, and things in their lives. If they go back to the same physical environment, the same friends that they were hanging out with, then relapse is really the result of that. It takes a process of changing their lives and realizing that they have to make different choices every day to reach out to the support systems that are going to help them to stay in recovery, and they have to go through that process. And graduating from residential treatment is the beginning and not the end. So people who think that they come into a 30-day program and leave cured, that's not really the reality. It's that very brief period of sobriety that gives them that jumping off point to engage in community-based supports, 12-step programs, outpatient programs, and reaching out to the support systems that are going to be positive influences in their lives, sometimes changing where they live. All of those are important components.
Yeah, because if people go back to their old lives and their old buddies who are perhaps also in some kind of addiction pattern themselves, it's tough.
Exactly. And we see a lot of multi-generational substance use in New Mexico. So individuals are coming from households where their loved ones are using, and maybe their parents and grandparents, aunts, uncles. They haven't really experienced any other way of life. And if they go back into that environment, their chances of staying sober are really low.
What are the reasons, in your view? I mean, you are a native New Mexican, for multi-generational substance abuse, whether it be heroin or alcohol. How did it get this way?
Well, I think that's a tough question, but I think that when you look at northern New Mexico, which has the highest opiate overdose rates in the country per capita, and you look at these small communities experiencing pretty severe poverty, and you get into those cycles, and you see that a lot. I worked in a residential treatment center for adolescents in Española and saw clients who said that they had never experienced anything else. This is a 15-year-old boy saying, you know, my mother is dead and my uncles use and my mother, my grandmother deals, you know, these just multi-generational, and he, you know, believing there was no other way, that he knew that this wasn't the life that he wanted, but he also didn't feel like he had any chance of experiencing anything else because he didn't even know what anything else looked like.
What happened to him?
In that program, we had clients who stayed 6 to 12 months, and some of them I lost touch with, and some of them, when I started working at the Santa Fe Recovery Center, I've seen a few of those boys who came through the residential program for adolescents come into the adult program at Santa Fe Recovery Center. So sometimes you never know what happens to them and where they go and what they do, and sometimes they come back into your life.
It's so tricky because, I mean, in a case like that, these are the people, for better or worse, who love you.
Yeah.
These people who you have to get away from in order to be healthy.
Exactly. The idea of leaving your friends, your family, the only way of life that you've ever known, and trying to start over is really, really incredibly difficult.
Especially for a young kid.
Like, yes.
An adolescent.
Exactly. It's a really, really difficult population to work with, and I think that's why we see them sometimes coming into the adult programs as they get older, because at that point in their lives, there aren't a whole lot of other choices.
We're talking to Sylvia Barella of the Santa Fe Recovery Center. Part of the process of people coming in with whatever kind of addiction they have, and, I mean, what are we looking at? We're looking at heroin, methamphetamine, alcohol,
cocaine, a lot of polysubstance abuse. So we will see people coming in and they have multiple addictions. The primary substances that we see and detox people from are alcohol and opiates, heroin and pain pills. But we will see a lot of clients who have polysubstance abuse. So they come in and it's heroin and cocaine and heroin and methamphetamines, heroin and alcohol sometimes. And sometimes it's not just two substances. Sometimes it's three or four or even five.
And so, I mean, the first step with that is detoxification. And there are, I suppose, different levels of that depending on how toxic a person's body is.
Yes, exactly. The Santa Fe Recovery Center provides what's called a social detox. So it means that we're not hospital-based and we don't have doctors and nurses 24 hours a day. We do have many medical components to our program, and we can detox most people from most substances in a social detox program.
What does that mean, social detox?
It basically means that it's not a medically monitored detox, that you don't have doctors and nurses around the clock.
Okay.
We do have certified medical technicians. We have a nurse, two nurses who work with us, and a doctor who works with us to prescribe the medications that are needed to help people with that detox process. So again, we can do most detoxes in what's considered a social setting, but sometimes we'll have clients who do need to be in a medical facility. You know, they're medically compromised and going through a severe alcohol withdrawal, and they have a history of seizures, and there's a real danger to their lives. And in that case, we want to have them in a medical setting with doctors and nurses around the clock who can make sure that they're okay. Sometimes they'll need IV medications to get through that detox. When we see people addicted to benzodiazepines, which are anti-anxiety medication like Xanax, Valium, that is a long-acting substance that stays in the body for a long time. So it's not safe to detox from that in a social setting. So those individuals also need to be in a medical detox.
You must have to take a lot of Valium or whatever in order to be that toxic or stay addicted.
Well, the problem with the benzodiazepines is if they're in your system, they're going to stay in your system for a long time. And it's not safe necessarily to give you the medications that are going to help you with the withdrawal process, like the Librium or, in the case of opiate withdrawal, Suboxone, buprenorphine. And we can't give those substances to individuals who have the benzodiazepines in their urine because it's not safe. There can be drug reactions. So no matter how much is in their system or whether they're likely to go through a withdrawal, it isn't safe to give them the medications that we utilize to manage that withdrawal process. So if they test positive for benzodiazepines at admission and we can't trace back why they're testing positive, like they were just in the hospital and were given a few doses, then we have to refer them to a medical detox so that we know that they're safe.
Now, you don't do that at the Santa Fe Recovery Center, the medical detox, right? Okay.
Yeah, so there's some programs in Albuquerque. There's not one in Las Cruces. There's not many medical detox programs in the state. It's a level of care that there's not enough of. And we are actually interested in providing that level of care, but we would need to have funding for that. And right now, funding is a big issue.
How do you fund yourselves?
So we get funding from multiple sources. We are contracted with private insurance companies. We have a contract with the State Behavioral Health Services Division. Some of the funding that we get is federal funding for substance abuse treatment. Some of the services that we provide are covered by Medicaid. So we have a really diverse payment system, depending on the individual that comes to us and what funding they can or can't access.
And people are admitted regardless of their ability to pay or have insurance?
Right, exactly. So we're lucky enough to have state and federal funding to assist people who do not have insurance with getting treatment. But it's probably been in the news a lot, maybe something that you've talked about, the budget crisis and the cuts to behavioral health services and Medicaid. All of those things are going to affect us and our ability to see clients moving forward if those funding streams are reduced.
I have not seen firsthand the detoxification process, but I did once watch a movie that somebody had made, and it was in a local film festival, which was about a guy who was detoxing from heroin addiction, and his friends brought him out to a cabin in the woods to help him detox, and it was absolutely harrowing. It was so scary and awful. It was like watching a depiction of hell. This is what it must be like in like actual hell, if there were such a thing.
Yeah. You know, people will say that alcohol detox can kill you, but heroin detox, you wish it could kill you because it's really, I think, the worst that we see.
Yeah.
The most painful, the most uncomfortable. And our facility uses medication to assist with that process. So we use buprenorphine, trade name Suboxone, and we use different medication protocols, sometimes gabapentin. Our physician has about 3 protocols for opiate withdrawal medications that she will prescribe based on the client and what their needs are. Those substances make it much more comfortable to go through the detox process. Not that it's ever comfortable or fun, but that sort of view of someone, you know, shaking and shivering and vomiting and sweating and being miserable, that's not the reality of somebody detoxing in our program. They may not
Thank goodness.
Yes. They may not feel well for a couple of days, but with those medications, we can get them through that process without too much discomfort. And then some of those medications can be used to assist with cravings. Some people will be on Suboxone maintenance or methadone that will assist them. Medication-assisted treatment is what it's referred to once they leave treatment. And that will help them to often stay sober while they're engaging in outpatient programs or 12-step programs. So we also offer the medication-assisted treatment at the recovery center.
So there are people who go to a recovery center or something of that nature because they want to recover. There are others that are there because their families want them to recover, or their friends or their spouse want them to recover. And it seems like a big difference, like the people who are there for others as opposed to really for themselves. Do you see different results based on what their motivation is?
Well, that's an interesting question. Yes and no. Studies have shown that a person's stages of change or motivation level when coming into treatment is not an indicator of whether or not they're going to be successful when they leave. So regardless of where they are in the process of realizing that they have an addiction or wanting help with that addiction, by the time they graduate from our program, they have as much of a chance as anyone else of sustaining that recovery. And that has to do with the modalities that we use for our treatment process. You know, we utilize motivational interviewing, which is an evidence-based modality.
Motivational interviewing?
Yeah.
What's that?
So you'll see sometimes this idea of being really, really confrontational with people who are in addiction treatment. And what we find is that that's not the best way to push or shove or force somebody into realizations or behaviors. So motivational interviewing is a process of talking with the client and allowing them to express what's going on in their lives and what they're experiencing. And the counselor will ask questions, you know, around what exactly has this addiction done in your life? Are you in a place that you want to be? And those questions kind of lead the client around to expressing themselves, what it's doing to their lives, and expressing to themselves what's going on. And when they come to that realization on their own, then it's not being shoved or forced at them. They're realizing that, yeah, I might not have wanted to admit it, but this isn't something that's positive in my life, and this isn't something that, you know, is getting me where I want to be. And often through that process, and also some of the other modalities we use, including cognitive behavioral therapies, where we're working with the client on the behaviors and choosing different and more positive behaviors. And then the 12-step program, the social connection is really huge. You know, we talked about that a little bit in the beginning, finding people who can support clients in that process, in that early recovery, people who are positive influences in their lives, people who care about them. All of those are really important factors, and we have 12-step meetings every night at the Recovery Center, and we encourage clients to get sponsors before they leave. The 12-step program is an evidence-based modality that has shown a lot of success, and that's one of the reasons that we utilize it, because it works.
I would imagine that in this whole process, people are coming upon or trying not to come upon grief, trauma, and the pain in their life that caused them to become an addict in the first place, or at least contributed to it.
Yes, absolutely. An enormous percentage of our clients have trauma, over 90%. Often we'll find co-occurring mental illness, you know, bipolar or severe anxiety, depression, and often clients are self-medicating.
Yeah.
And that's what starts their addiction. So it's important to address that component, and it's something that we really believe in the Recovery Center. And so we work with the clients to identify, you know, the triggers and some of the things that led up to the addiction, and then we make sure that they have supports around all of those things. So it may not be appropriate in a 30-day setting to delve into deep and severe trauma, but we can refer them to an agency in town like the Solace Center that can work with them on that. And we'll have clients, while they're in the Recovery Center, going to the Solace Center or going to some of the other programs that provide that comprehensive care. You know, no agency can do this alone in a silo. We need all of the agencies and the wraparound care and the comprehensive services, the collaboration. That's really critical in making sure that a client's successful. So we work with them to make sure that when they leave us, they are connected to the services that will help them to maintain sobriety and to start to work on some of those severe trauma or mental health conditions that are definitely contributing factors.
So the various agencies that are involved in health and healing and addiction and mental health, you guys all kind of know each other?
Yes, absolutely. First name basis, we call each other all the time, whether it's the Care Connection or the Lifelink or PMS or the Solace Center, La Familia. You know, I can go on and on. Ayudantes.
Right.
Yeah, we are all connected, and we all refer clients and try to keep our clients from, you know, falling through the cracks, make sure that they access the level of care that they need when they need it.
How did you get into this line of work yourself?
I've always worked in nonprofits. I went to school at New Mexico State and got a bachelor's degree in psychology. And I worked in Colorado at an adolescent treatment center for girls. And then moved back to New Mexico after a few years and got a job at Casa de Corazon when they had their residential treatment center for boys. And then was hired at the Recovery Center. I've been there 10 years. So I've worked in nonprofits ever since I graduated from college. I got a master's degree in business and went towards the administrative side of things. But, you know, feeling like what I did made a difference has always been really fundamental to my worldview and my career goals. So I gravitated toward nonprofit fields and haven't worked in any other organizations besides nonprofits.
I was wondering whether you might have witnessed somebody going through the kind of things that your clients at the Recovery Center are going through and whether that was a motivation for you.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone can say that their lives have not been touched by addiction. No matter who you speak to, if it hasn't affected them personally, they've known someone in their life who has struggled. And I'm certainly no exception to that. And it's a very frustrating process for family members, for friends, for loved ones to watch someone that they love going through this and feel like they don't really understand what's going on and they feel like the person should just stop. There's a lot of stigma around addiction, a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding about this disease and the chronic nature of this disease and what it takes to get help for people. You know, if they could just wake up tomorrow and stop, they wouldn't be addicted. And so more than anything else, I think it's important to highlight that fact, because I think that there's so much shame and misunderstanding when you yourself are going through addiction or you're supporting or loving somebody going through addiction and you don't understand what's going on and you feel somehow as though this is something they should just stop doing or that they're to blame for. And so that stigma and trying to educate people to understand that addiction really is a disease and it needs to be treated like a disease and there doesn't need to be shame and embarrassment around that is really critical and important.
Sylvia Barella is Executive Director of Santa Fe Recovery Center. They are on the web at sfrecovery.org. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's really a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.